Amen. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. We welcome you. And before you sit down, let's take a moment and greet each other. All right. Again, greetings this morning. We certainly appreciate everyone being here this morning. And we just want to welcome any guests who might be here for the first time or for the second, third, whatever. Thank you for being here. We're blessed, all of us, to be here to worship God together this morning. Today is Laity Sunday in the United Methodist Church. And you will hear a bit more about that as Bob brings our morning sermon to us. But in the meantime, you can see that our pastor is not here among us. She's there among us. So the lay members of the lay servants of Calvary are conducting the service today, and we'll be in charge for a day. Thank you. Some of the announcements on your in your bulletin are with regard to, well, all of them are with regard to events happening this week. And I'd like to especially call your attention to some of the pumpkin patch things that are involving the pumpkin patch. We need volunteers to man the pumpkin patch, man and woman, the pumpkin patch. We don't have any volunteers yet for 12 noon today, I think. From 12 noon to 3, we have no volunteers today. So if you want, take a look at the schedule, the sign-up sheet that's in the hallway near the office, between the kitchen and the office, and sign up. We have one volunteer for the 3 to 6 period, and we always like to have at least two people out there to sell the pumpkins. And again, there's nobody signed up yet for today between 6 and closing. Also, Trunk or Treat. Barbara asked me to mention Trunk or Treat. Please sign up for Trunk or Treat. You'll see that announcement in your inserts as well. Trunk or Treat is going to happen on the 31st or the 30th? 31st, yeah, on a Monday night. And I want to remind everybody that the Pumpkin Patch, it really is not just a fundraiser. It's an outreach to the community. It's an outreach to the people who pass by here, the people who stop by here. And people have been coming here literally for years and years with their children to take pictures and to share their experiences, to catch up over the year what has happened. So it's certainly more than just a fundraiser. It's a community outreach, and we certainly would appreciate your volunteering to help out in that regard. And when Bob preaches today, after the sermon, he has to leave. And I thought I'd mention that in case he forgot to mention it. And I imagine he's probably going to have Jan to go along with him. Yes, indeed. Something about the grandchildren, and it's a must-attend event. Many of you are familiar with that, right? So Bob, when he sneaks out the side door, it's with our permission. All right. I think those are most of the announcements that we have to verbally take care of. The rest are in your bulletin. Oh, yeah, that's a very important one as well. This afternoon at 4 p.m. is our charge conference here at the church. All of you are welcome back to join us for our church charge conference at 4 p.m. this afternoon. Any others for the good of the cause? If not, turn to the back of your bulletins for our opening words. And you will also see them maybe on the screen. Opening words. Power and might and majesty belong to God who created and is creating.
Thanks be to God for God's mighty wonders.
Like the image of the wonderful wind, God's majesty is revealed in all creation. Who are we that God should pay attention to us? We are God's beloved children, the stewards whom God has selected to care for the world. Amen.
And if you would stand and turn to page 352 in your hymnals, we'll sing, it's me, O Lord.
It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord,
standing in the need of prayer.
Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah.
It's
me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's
me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah.
It's
me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my brother, not it's me, O Lord.
Standing in the need of prayer.
It's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah.
It's
me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer.
If you turn to 882, we'll have our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, my goodness. Look at all of these children. Good morning. Okay. Well, let me put this down. Should I hide it so they don't see it? Okay. Well, can everybody see me? Can everybody see me down there? Okay. Very good. Well, I'm going to do something. Okay. Well, now I need a volunteer. Oh, good. I would like for either one. Well, first let's let Zachary. Zachary, I need you. Uh-oh, you took my prop. I would like for you to put that toothpaste back in this tube for me. Can you see his eyes? They just got great big. Well, let's see if your brother can do it. Here, Bradley, can you put that toothpaste back in that tube? That was a great try, but you know what? That was silly of me to ask if you guys could put toothpaste back in a tube. Well, what I want to talk to you today is about the words that come out of our mouth. The words of our mouth that come out of our mouth are kind of like toothpaste in a tube. Once we speak them, they're out. We can't put them back. We can't take them back. Have any of you ever maybe said something to somebody and they said, "You take that back"? Has that ever happened to you? It has, hasn't it? But we can't take those words back. We can say we're sorry, but we can't take those words back. So today in our scripture, at the very end of a beautiful psalm, it says, "May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, O God." So the whole object here is our words are like toothpaste. We need to make sure that when we speak our words, that they're pleasing to God. You think we can try and do that when we speak? You think so? Okay, very good. Well, let's have a little prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know each one of us, and we thank you for the words that you do give us, and we ask that our words are pleasing to you, Lord, every time we speak them. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
One day when heaven was filled with his glory, one day when sin was as black as could be, that's when Jesus came down to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Well, one day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering in anguish, despised and rejected, bearing my sin, my Redeemer is he. One Sunday the grave could hold them no longer. That day sin rolled away from the door. Jesus arose, over death he had conquered. He has ascended, he's alive evermore. One day when heaven was filled with his glory, one day when sin was as black as could be, that's when Jesus came down to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
Okay, well, good morning. My name is Robin Stowers. Jamie was supposed to lead us in prayer today, but I would like to lift him up. He is home with an intestinal virus, so I've heard a few people that's had that. Well, this morning, I just want to take a few minutes and talk to you about prayer. Did you know that even Jesus understood the necessity of communicating with his Holy Father? He could not be any earthly good unless he connected with his Heavenly Father. And I feel that that's the way that we should be. You know, we are here today to worship and praise God and to come together with prayer. And some of the things that Jesus did, some things that we could all learn from, Jesus made time to pray. Jesus took the time to pray. He also had a place of prayer. He also prayed out loud. Jesus also prayed for people by name. And we do that in here. When we have our time of prayer, we call out names of those who we know are ill or sick or needing the hand of God on them, or those that aren't even saved. And so we have followed in Jesus' footsteps. And then the third thing, Jesus prayed with others, and we can find all this in the Gospels, in our Bible. So I would like to ask you this morning, how many of us in here believe that prayer is powerful? Prayer is powerful. So with that said, I would like for us to take a deep breath, calm ourselves, But what I really want you to do, congregation, is to open yourselves up to the Heavenly Father. As you're sitting in your seat, if you don't want to raise your hands, just open your hands. Open the palms of your hands so that God can see that you are ready to receive. He wants to speak to us. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here in this room. And he's entering. He's flowing in this room. And when he sees us humbling ourselves before him with our hands open to receive what he has for us. Well, at this time, I would like to pray for this church. I would like for all of us to start speaking of things that are heavy on our heart, whether it be a name of someone, a situation. Now is the time that don't worry about what your neighbor's doing. Just focus on God at his throne and the Holy Spirit in this room. And for one, Lord, I would like to lift up our marriages, our children, our nation, and just ask his special blessing. If you have a name that you would like to present to God, for healing, for that special touch, I lift up Bob. Pray for Jamie. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Well, we believe, Father, that you are in this house. And we know that you have heard the names and the joys that were spoken here today. We give you praise and glory for that, Father. And many of us have concerns on our hearts today that are unspoken, and you know what they are, and we know that you're going to take care of them however your will sees fit. But at this time and place, Lord, we are with a quiet tone so that we can reflect on the blessings and the wonderful things, your mighty, mighty power that we will hear about in the Psalm Scripture. And we thank you for the Bible, for our guide that tells us every day all that we need to know. And that prayer is a very important part. And we ask that we would try and be more like you, Father, in our prayers. And you had a wonderful prayer that you taught your disciples that we like to say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
would stand and please look to the screen behind me. We'll sing More Precious Than Silver.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. And Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares to you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Please be seated.
I tried to jump up here just a little bit early, but y'all wanted to sing instead, so. Savior what? He is. Good morning. My name is Bob Seymour. I am not Gene Clark. Gene is sitting right here. He had some eye surgery earlier in the week. That did not go as planned. So Gene put me on notice last Sunday. And then Thursday, he finally said, no, I can't go. Will you please fill in? So here I am. Gene, thank you. Good and bad there, Gene. If you will, with me in the scriptures. And Psalm 19, page 613 in your few Bibles. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor their words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from a wedding canopy. And like a strong man runs the course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the ends of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decree of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precept of the Lord's are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The obedience of the Lord are true. The ordinances of the Lord is true and righteous together. More to be desired than gold, even much more than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servants warned, in keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect the errors? Clear me from my hidden faults. Keep back your servants always from the insolent. Do not let them dominate over me. Then I shall be blameless, and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. These are the words of God for the people of God. Again, thanks to Gene for allowing me to be up here. I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Just to give you a little heads up and pick on Gene like I warned him. When he called and said, will you do this, he asked, do you want to use my sermon that I've got written? It's only 16 pages. Now, he has that in bigger type, because he knew his eyesight was going to be affected, so he did plan to have a bigger type. So maybe the 16 pages went down to 15. Eight. I graciously said, no, I believe I'll go ahead and try to prepare one myself. But again, thank you, Gene. God is working, and we are all here today for that purpose. To see God's work and to worship with God. Today is Laity Sunday. The General Conference many years ago established the third Sunday of October to be Laity Sunday. It is a celebration of the lay members of the Church of the Laity, not the pastors, to celebrate ministry with Jesus Christ, to be able to serve in the church in the capacity that we're up here today, and even that you're in the pews today. You see, when you woke up this morning, you made a decision to worship. You made a decision to get up and come to church. How easy it would be to say, I'm too tired. But in that decision, you chose to serve God. You chose to come and worship in recognition of your responsibility as a Christian to serve God. We are all in service to God this morning, not just us that are up here. I, Ron, and Robin, and others are certified lay servants. In that training, we learned that we are not just up here to speak. We don't go through, it used to be called lay speaking. So we thought, okay, that means we get to just get up and speak. No. Even back then, they taught us that it is to serve. In whatever capacity we can, we are to serve. So as lay servants, certified lay servants, we are to serve the church. In whatever capacity comes available, we are to be ready. One of those capacities was I was supposed to have a sermon stick in my back pocket, ready to go when I got that call from Gene. I didn't. We are called to serve. Whether you know it or not, whether you've realized it or not, you are serving God. Way back when I was about that high, maybe, a little bit taller, around 10 years old, I got to go to church on Sunday mornings. But to go to church on Sunday mornings meant I had to get up, get dressed, and walk, because nobody else in my family went to church. So if I wanted to go to church, I had to walk to church, a mile, 2 miles away. We can't do that today. Can you imagine a kid out by himself walking 2 miles today? What's happened? Back then, it was okay. Back then, a neighbor was watching. Back then, people were taking care of you. But in that walk to church and then back, on the way back from church, I ask the question, do you want to be a preacher? Do you want to be a pastor of a church? 10 years old. Obviously, I said no, because I'm not a preacher today. But I didn't say, no, I don't want to serve. I used the excuses, I don't know if I can do it. Over the years, as a youth, I made mistakes, but God was there. God was with me from the time I said that I would try, that what I wanted to see, Lord, show me, to now. God was with me, guiding me, teaching me, directing me, so that I would have the ability to stand before you today. Have you ever had that call? Have you ever had that quiet little voice that says, why don't you do this? Have you had the call this morning as Ron spoke about the pumpkin patch? Why don't you go out and help in the pumpkin patch? In the kitchen crew when we have dinners and so forth, to serve in there. In this church, there are so many different places that you can serve. We have committees, education, worship, outreach, finance, trustees, that you can serve on. There are events, food, the food bank, Vacation Bible School, the kitchen crew, work days. I pause on that one because the trustees keep pointing you here and we're not here. Got an amen. Many places to serve. You're serving today. You started the process of serving. Who are you serving? Are you serving God? Is that the reason you're here? We are called to service. Sometimes we're called with a loud noise or shout or big event that changes our thought into serving God. Or other times, it's like me, it was a question. What do you want to do? Serve me or not? Even at a young age. Was it a Paul moment? Or actually a Saul moment? That turned from a prosecutor of Christians to a Saul moment to a Paul moment, when Paul became a defender of Christians, an outspoken person for Christians, and a strong believer in Jesus Christ. Saul moment, flash of lightning, or a quiet little voice inside of us that says, I want you to do this. I want you to help this person who is in need. Maybe they need food, especially after the hurricane. Maybe they need someone to help them get the yard cleaned up. In service to God, we are there. But service comes with a price. That price is called commitment. What is commitment? For each one of us, it's different. But it begins with some event, some decision that we made, that we repeat, and we repeat. And we're going to continue to repeat because we are committed to that decision. We are committed to doing that. Like the sun that came up from the heavens and traveled the full circuit to the ends of the heavens. We are committed to get up and run the course with joy in our hearts. How do we do that? For each one of us, it's different. Are you committed to your job? Are you committed to your family? Are you committed to God? Each one of us has to answer that question. Each one of us has to look to see where we can serve and how we can serve. And then start that process. I liken it to accepting Jesus Christ, and I've told the story before, and Robin, I'm sure, gets to hear it a second time. With joy, serving with joy. It's a light switch story that I present. Just like accepting Christ, just like accepting the commitment to serve, you can have the lightning striking big event like Saul did. Or you can have that quiet moment like when you go to turn on a light switch for a fluorescent light. You turn the switch on. There's time between the time you turn the switch on and that light actually coming to full power. You turn the switch on. The power moves to the charger in the light. The charger then ignites the gas in the light bulb and it starts to glow. But it takes it a while to expand and to be at full power. You commit and let God get you to full power. One step at a time. It's just as simple as just do it. That simple. Begin and keep at it. Commitment. Something that you're driven to do. What a great world this would be if each one of us Christians were committed to bring one more person to Christ. With the 50 people in here today, we could have 100 next week. People who are committed to serving God. They may not be in this church. You may find them somewhere else. But you are committed to Christ and to bringing Christ to all people. Each one of us, not just us up here, not just them. Oh, you can also, you know, work in the choir if you want to. Sing. They keep me out. They try to make me run the sound equipment so I can make them sound better. You must understand that God is there. That when I was young and took that on and questioned it and started down that road, God led me through every phase of my life. God gave me the opportunities to learn how to get up here and speak. Thank you, Gene. God's working for you. You're serving God because you said no. And then you said, Bob, come on and do it. Why? That's a God-given opportunity. And we accept it and we work to please God in everything that we do. Jan and I started out with youth in another Methodist church about the time I started dating her. Okay. We came here, about 10 years ago. We came here to Calvary. I started out as an usher. Then I moved to this and that, and now I have served on just about every committee in the church, except United Methodist Women. And I am told that men can join United Methodist Women, but I haven't. I'm not trying to toot my horn or brag. I'm trying to say that God has put me in these places. God has used those positions, those opportunities to teach me, to prepare me, and God will do that for you. God will be there. You make the step, God will be there. He will provide for you. One thing I don't like to do is go visit. That's the one thing I've convinced myself that I can't do. And I use that term, I don't know what to say. Have you ever tried that? You ever said that? I can't go visit the person in the hospital or the person at their home that's a shut-in because I don't know what to say. Now, how do you reply to someone? How do you reply to someone who's had cancer? Or has this just been diagnosed with cancer? How do you speak with that person? The earlier service, I said, yes, I know that I am a cancer survivor. But the last thing a person who has cancer wants to hear is that I had cancer and I'm okay. They want to know how to get from hearing about cancer to being cured of cancer. I can tell them I took that journey. But it is God who is going to be there to tell me and help me if I would just do it. What to say? What words to reassure someone that God will be with them? That God is there. All we have to do is ask. We are committed to serve God. Are we? Are we committed to serve the church? Is that right? Commitment carries with it both a responsibility and a reward. When you were, I know some of you, when we were younger and we taught Sunday school and other classes, we had opportunities to teach young people about Christ and show young people who Christ was through our lives. The reward is that I have had people come back and say, remember when I was in your class, you taught me what I needed to know. And now I believe in God and I serve God. And you are one of the reasons. I've had family members come back and say, you know that my sons think you're the best Christian in the world. They hold you up as an example. I never had a chance to teach them, to work with them personally. They just saw me working in the church. See, we can serve without being directly involved. And the reward of hearing that, wow. Maybe at work. You're put under stress and you've got to work. You've got a deadline. You've got things to do. And people see that you do that calmly, peacefully. And they recognize Christ in you. And they comment, no, I see Christ in you. How else could you get through this without saying words that a lot of people say, without doing things that a lot of people do? The reward is knowing that you are serving, that you have reached out and touched someone else. That's all God asks, that we serve Him and that we show others Him through what we do and how we worship and how we serve. This morning, I ask for your commitment. You've started. You've chose to come and worship. You've chose to serve God by being here. Make the next choice. Make the next step. Commit to serving God. And through that commitment, bring others to Christ. Amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Change My Heart, O God, and the rail will be open if you'd like to come up. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.
Remember, I remember.